Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm excited to be able to chat to you today. Just want to remind you that Sunday at 9:30, we start our pre-service prayer ministry time communion. And then at 10:30, we go for our full service. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait. I'm going to be sharing this Sunday. Today, I want to talk to you about when the enemy attacks your rest and what I call the Amalekite principle. You know, here's something most Christians don't realize. The enemy doesn't attack you when you're striving. He attacks you when you're resting. Why? Because resting in God's grace is the greatest threat to his kingdom. Think about this. When I'm connected to grace, and I'm connected to Jesus, and that grace is flowing through me like a river, that means supernatural supply, supernatural peace, supernatural joy is flowing through my life. I am the greatest threat to the enemy's kingdom, because when people see me, when people see my life and the fruit of my life, they're drawn to Jesus. And so what does he do? He attacks us when we're in a place of rest. When we're grinding, he doesn't need to do anything. You're already defeating yourself. But when you discover that rest, remember, not physical rest, but that rest in your soul, that mental rest, that emotional rest, guess what? You start operating from grace instead of performance, and that's when he shows up. Because the enemy's favorite strategy is attacking you at your place of peace, at your place of grace. He wants to get you out of grace. Like I shared yesterday, the Apostle Paul talked to the Galatians in the book of Galatians and said, you have fallen from grace. Now, they were saved, but they weren't operating in grace, they're operating in works. And so the devil wants to get us fallen from grace, back to performance, striving, anxiety, and not living in the river of his supply and his grace and peace. So there's a great story in Exodus 17 where the children of Israel come to a place called Rephidim. They've just been delivered from Egypt. God's provided manna, and there comes a moment where they're thirsty, and God gives them water from the rock. But at this place called Rephidim, which means a place that was being prepared to rest, the place of rest where God was teaching them to trust his provision, the Amalekites attacked those who were straggling, who were disconnected. In fact, the very purpose of Amalek was to pick off people that weren't connected to community and weren't connected to God. And so God didn't like this. In fact, God says this in Deuteronomy. It says, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind, all those that were disconnected. They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all your enemies around you in the land he is giving you, you need to blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. So God goes after the grace stealer, the rest stealer, which is the enemy. So when Israel was weary, the Amalekites attacked them. When they were worn out, when they're most vulnerable, and God said, that's unforgivable. Blot them out. Why such a severe response? Because attacking someone at their place of rest is an assault on God's character and provision. Attacking rest is attacking the grace of God himself. And so he uses the same strategy today. He waits until you're finally experiencing peace and rest and grace, and then he attacks. And the attack usually comes in one of three forms: chaos in circumstances. Everything's going well. You're finally at peace. Then suddenly crisis, financial pressure, health issue, relational conflict, ministry challenge. It feels random, but it's not. It's strategic. Because the enemy wants to pull you out of grace, which shows up in our ability to be not anxious and not performance driven. And he wants to pull you back into striving, into anxiety, into depression. The second form that the enemy attacks you in is accusation in your mind. you are resting in his righteousness. You're resting in his goodness and greatness. You're walking in confidence. And the voice comes, who do you think you are? You don't deserve this. You're not good enough. This is not going to last. You're going to fail. That's Amalek attacking your mind when you're resting in grace. The third form that he attacks us in is pressure from people. You know, you set boundaries. You decide that you're not going to run to the beck and call of everybody. You prioritize living out of grace and people start questioning you. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's home. Why aren't you working harder? Why aren't you working that extra 50%? Don't you care? And that's the enemy trying to guilt you out of the place of peace and the place of grace. So when you enter that place of rest, remember emotional rest, we're still working hard, but we're not striving. We're not anxious. We're not lacking peace. Expect resistance. It means you're a threat. Take it as a compliment. So how do we respond when Amalek attacks? We need to do exactly what happened in Exodus 17. And what happens in Exodus 17, 9 is that Moses goes to the top of the hill with a staff of God. And the hill represents the place of prayer, the place of communion with God, the place of connection. So the first move when the enemy attacks us isn't strategy, it's prayer. God, I'm under attack, but I choose to go to the place of prayer. The enemy doesn't like that I'm in this place of rest and grace. So I ask you to fight for me. Response number two is to hold up the rod. Moses held up the staff of God, right? The rod represents your declaration, your authority, and your confession. You stand in grace. And it says that when Moses lifted up his staff, which was for him, the sign of God was with him, the battle was won. And when Moses got tired and dropped down his hands, the Amalekites started to win. So we've got to hold up that truth and keep holding it up till we push back the enemy. We've got to hold up the truth. I am righteous. I stand in grace. God fights for me. The battle is the Lord's. And as long as you keep declaring, the enemy loses ground. Response number three, get support. Moses' arms got tired and Aaron and Hur held them up. You see, we can't fight alone. We need people who will support us, remind us of truth, and hold us up when we're weary. And that's why the enemy attacked the stragglers, because they were isolated. So we have to purposefully get into community, get into connect groups, become part of Sunday mornings, get to that prayer meeting, get to that ministry service, connect. The enemy says, no, don't connect, isolate. But that's the very opposite of what we have to do. And so, as we connect this Sunday, the 9:30 pre-service prayer meeting, where ministry and prayer, we can get our hearts ready. And then the word and the people stay afterwards, have a coffee, get connected, and keep declaring. And then response four is finish the battle. It says Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. We don't just survive this attack, we overcome. How? By staying in rest, by trusting God, by staying in grace, staying connected, by declaring truth and refusing to go back to striving. Remember, the goal is not to survive, it's to overcome. And every time you make that decision, guess what happens? The grace of God grows in your life. It happens to me on a regular basis. So, you know, it's not something that just happens to ordinary people. It happens to pastors, leaders, people who are in business. Everybody is challenged by Amalek, by the enemy of our resting place, our grace place, our place of supply. We are challenged to go back into striving, not feel we're righteous, feel like a failure, feel anxious, feel uncertain of our place. And that's where we've got to go to the place of prayer and follow those four processes. I want to encourage you today. God is with you. Grace is awaiting you. It's flowing like a river. What I have to do today is get reconnected. Sometimes by the end of the week, we're feeling that disconnection. That's why we need to be there on Sunday, invite people. That's another way to stay connected, doing the work of helping people connect with Jesus. All these things help us very, very deeply. So I can't wait to see you on Sunday. I can't wait to see what God does, but it's going to be an amazing, amazing Sunday. Have a wonderful Friday, and we'll see you then.